This is session 229, recorded on January 3rd, copyright 2010, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 6:51 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good evening.
Good evening. We're looking forward to playing tonight because we're going to be creative and invent scenes for our movie.
All righty.
So, Carolyn, I'll let you... It took a lot out of me to get the date right, so let me retreat for a second.
When JW and I talked the other morning, we had just a half-hour session. I think we called it Reading 227. And JW was talking about creating scenes for the movie in some of the chapters we were doing. And then I think Ion or JW said that he just wanted to go right into doing scenes. So that's what we're here about.
Okay.
Ion's going to be a co-author.
Well, we'll help you with the flow of it. So, do you want us to start you, or do you want to start us?
Well, you've already seen the movie. You know...
We didn't see it. JW saw it. We just done all we could do to show it to him.
Oh, that's right. That was the movie? All right. That was it was something to work with, to bounce off.
Okay. Then let's just start. That's the easiest. Otherwise, you're going to beat yourself to death.
Here. We're asking you...
Here's one scene. All right. One scene is... You find and you discover non-physical. Mm-hmm. So the beginning is your what we call your desert experience of going from the worst of the worsters, the best of the greens, the wisp of the willows, the different dynamics that you've seen that you've been exposed to. Then here's what happens. You basically, very shortly, very quickly, this isn't a long part, this is the short part, but you quickly bounce through these typical topical realities. Edgar Casey, Nostradamus, Madame Curie, some of the major parts of where the meme of the people were. See, because this isn't new. We are not new. We don't take offense because we don't take offense at anything, but you must know non-physical has always been. We are you.
Okay? No, we know that, I think.
Well, so that's your scene. You start from the scene of, like, running it very quickly, like you spin through it. You know how they'll start a movie or something like that, and they're spinning through trying to catch you up to where you are now?
Right, hold it, fine. So we were talking earlier with JW, and we were wondering, no, we don't see Carol and I in the first couple movies.
Wait a minute.
So okay. Now I see how we would be part of it, the first movie. I see
okay.
What you're suggesting. This might be new
it
to me.
It doesn't have to necessarily be you. It could be you reading a story where... I was born a poor black child,
right.
And, you know, like the jerk, how they give you a little catching up of how you came through, and then they start the story. Well, it's like that.
Well, are you showing me with different mediums?
No, not necessarily. It can just be an example of the mediums that are being portrayed. It doesn't have to be necessarily you. It certainly can be. But
okay, I got that. Now, were talking about Edgar Casey and Madame Curie. Those are themes that are cliche with other mediums?
Well, they're renowned for it.
Other mediums go into those topics. Or do you mean Edgar Casey is renowned?
Edgar Casey as a medium, correct.
Is renowned for?
Being a
medium.
Reader.
All right, and Madame Curie is not known as a psychic.
Whoops, there's your free part.
Right, no, well, that's what you're going to add, but we're talking about the cliches of medium life.
Yes, now here's the difference. There's a significant difference, and this is probably the biggest thing you're going to get this week. So fasten your seatbelts. If mediums are channeling pure, positive source energy, and they transition, why then would other mediums not then channel them?
Do you mean like the Dave Worsters, the Michael Blake Reeds, when they transition?
Why wouldn't somebody be the channeler of Edgar Cayce?
Right.
Why wouldn't somebody be the channeler of Nostradamus? Why wouldn't somebody be the where someone stops, where what happened to Seth? Did Seth just go into the nether ethers?
Right.
Well, what's going on?
What is going on?
Well, that's what we're trying to tell you. Those are mediums from the physical side of those applications. But if you're non-physical, it makes no difference what you're called. If there's a resonance regarding it, the human veil requires some type of introduction. So that's significant, but if there was one shining star, why couldn't you be Nostradamus too?
Okay, so I didn't quite get that. So you're saying something about when Edgar Cayce transitions...
Yes.
Everybody's non-physical, so it's not significant for him to say
something?
Well,
if it was significant of his individual work, why wouldn't somebody pick it up and say, I'm the what you call the reincarnated spirit of Edgar Cayce?
Yeah, not the new physical vehicle, but what would come through the physical vehicle, say, I am... Edgar Cayce, or do you mean the physical vehicle announces it's the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce?
Well, that's the anomaly. Either way, see, that's the issue. It's kind of fun to look at your historical moments. Okay,
there is one guy who does claim to be channeling Edgar Cayce, or he's the new Edgar Cayce or something.
Okay, well, that's an end. And why hasn't anyone heard of him?
Well, a few people have. I mean, he's got a website. I mean, I heard of it, but I don't take it seriously.
Okay, exactly. Because your non-physical doesn't resonate with a reincarnation principle. Aha.
So...
And you go, wait a minute, the Buddhists do that. That's how they choose the new shoe.
Right. You mean the Dalai Lama?
Yes, well, the shoe is actually more correct. Dalai Lama is the title. Shoe is the head.
They say that word?
They do.
Is that an English word? You mean S-H-O-E?
No, Bob, yeah, they don't speak English.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so are you getting this, Carolyn? Let's have Carolyn attempt to get what we're talking about. Why isn't somebody channeling Edgar Cayce?
Why can't there just be a non-physical that everyone can channel? Why does it have to be isolated and individualized so that you can know which non-physical you're speaking to? We go, wait a second, there is only one.
So Edgar Cayce channeled non-physical, Seth
yes,
did
no,
that.
Yes, Thomas channeled non-physical, and anyone can. See, this is not an anomaly outside of human characteristics. It's just foreign to humans because you've pushed against the process that allows it to come in easily, freely to your experience. So now you've solved it by naming us Ion, which is perfectly fine. You see, you might get confused. If you called us Seth... Or maybe we'd be Seth also, or two Seth two, or something.
Right, we were going to call you Ian.
Okay, exactly. The naming of that, it should not be significant. But what we're telling you is that up until now, the veil, however thin it was for some human creators, was actually a pretty good separating point from physical to non-physical. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't non-physical's problem, it was physical's.
Right.
Physical's who made the thick curtains of the veil so thick. Okay?
Yeah.
So now that's thinning, so much so to the point that, yes, please call us Ion till Yashki comes. We're not fussing about that. But what we're saying is that you're going to start noticing the resonance with us, with the human physical creators. Others are also going to have this same type of resonance. And you've already nailed this. You've already got this, Bob, and you're already speaking about this. But in your movie scene, that's going to be a new dynamic that's never, ever, 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 one time ever been portrayed. Look, guys, you have a non-physical too. Look, guys, you're as smart as the smartest one that's ever been. Look, guys, you're as stupid as the rest of them. Look, guys, the hunches that you get come from the non-physical. Now, that's large. It's larger than you. No, it's not, because you have that part of you in you. So that's a huge way of introducing something new and a conceptual point of connection, not disconnection.
I want to go back to what the question about why doesn't anybody channel Iker Casey in that? Because real mediums wouldn't channel some person who was a medium.
Yeah, we're not trying to convince everyone that they have the ability to channel. We're trying to convince everybody that they don't have to channel. They have the whole enchilada.
Mm-hmm.
That's the trick. That's what's different. See, you went to see Iker Casey because he activated his own individual gift. And he allowed that gift to flow through his physical. Okay? Michael Blake Reed did the same thing. Okay? He allowed that to flow through him. And when he got good and fed up with the whole process because he felt he was forfeiting his life force, then he, the same way he started, stopped. Mm. Well, we don't understand how you get so in tune with non-physical that it would become laborious for you. It does not compute.
Well, you're saying that Michael wasn't channeling the non-physical then?
No, we're saying that you can't be participating in the delicious flow of pure positive source energy and grow weary with it.
But why did he grow weary if you say you can't do that?
You can't.
That means either you can choose to do that or he wasn't channeling pure positive energy.
Well, it became laborious. That's what we're saying.
Because it wasn't pure positive.
Correct, because in channeling pure positive source energy, you should never feel that you are forfeiting your physical life experience to participate in non-physical.
But you're saying that Michael eventually was not channeling. It was too laborious, and therefore
he made so many rules regarding it that it was more evergreen than it was Michael.
Oh, well, that's good, isn't it?
No, it wasn't him. He was putting it outside himself.
Exactly. He wasn't including himself in his experience. So therefore, he shouldn't have to pay taxes on that money because it wasn't him. It was the evergreens. You see what I'm saying? So you can do it. And Edgar Casey had the same problem. You know, he had to be laid out. Jane Roberts had the same issue. But, you know, she had to be in her bathrobe laying prostrate across the bed.
Then why did they have these issues?
Well, because those were rules that were set up from the thickness of the veil that didn't allow any other opportunity. Abraham has to have dim light and her shoes off and her this specific dirty rug and this complete setting type situation, and it's very strict requiem of how Abraham speaks. Okay? Well, the only reason that it's that way is because that's what Esther Hicks prefers.
Okay, so channeling is an aberration. If one has non-physical coming through them or can manifest it or do something with it, you wouldn't be channeling.
Yeah, channeling is yes. That now we don't want to be too harsh with that because yours is harsh. Ours wasn't. Mm. We are saying the identical same thing.
Yeah.
But if there's a way to take the softer point of view, That's the one we are suggesting, okay? But all we're talking about is in this a scene in your movie, a scene should be a very clear jumping off place of the high dive that this is not a channeled event.
Yeah, this is that ion coming through JW is not a channeled event. Is that what
you're
saying?
That's correct. And no more medium business.
Right, that's why we call them a large. I was explaining that to
perfect. That's
to
great.
Ian today.
But
no,
only
but what is it then that's happening?
There is this marvelous process, Bob. We'll explain it. Where you have a physical meat sack body, and you're trying to cause a seamless experience with this non-physical part that's already you, but you're trying to convince the physical to embrace it completely, so much so that you can't tell where non-physical stops and physical starts, or vice versa. And the only way so far that that's been able to work is when it doesn't offend the labyrinth of your meat sack holding mind.
Okay, but JW does shift into something.
He does, and it's just so you have a clear. But guess what, Bob? You've done this enough now that you catch yourself more times than not asking, "Is this JW or is this Ion?"
Well, when
Ion, is this you or is this JW?
I don't ask it during the session. I know it's.
No, I understand, but yeah. Many times in conversation.
Oh yeah.
You want clarification. That's good.
Well,
that's
often,
good.
Often after a reading with a client, JW is talking to the client after Ion is gone, and then JW starts sort of talking and saying, we this, we that. And it
exactly.
Sort of seems like Ion leaking back in.
Exactly, and that's what we're trying to, that's what we're explaining. And in the beginning of days with JW, where he was completely absent from the conversation,
yeah.
He didn't like that.
Right.
He's like, to hell with this noise. I've got things to do. If Ion's playing, if I'm forfeiting my life force in order to embrace this non-physical that I already have as JW, why I gotta be exited from the picture? And so then, marvelously, we said, hip, hip, hooray, the heavens are rejoicing. We've got one here that wants to play in our world.
In your world. Yeah,
our
wants to
world.
Be conscious.
And participate and function and thrive and participate in this whole one part. So it's
and our world is your world, the non-physical.
Exactly. And the only time it's not is when you have to have an appointment with a medium and lay them out in a comatose post-mortem experience so that these funky speaking entities can come out and start vomiting their knowledge on you that you're not smart enough to know yourself.
Right.
It becomes kind of limiting after a bit. But if you notice what we do more times than not, we'll answer specific questions. That's not a problem. We're not here to hide anything. You know, good, look at your CIA. They don't hide very much anyway, but so far, so good. But the point is to bring them into the position where they can embrace the knowing that they can embrace.
Okay, so...
That's a huge scene in your movie.
Yeah, and we need to get this clarified how Mark talked to Rockefeller and all these people. Would JW have been able to respond to Mark if they met in a bar and Mark started saying it, would JW have been able to do it? What part of JW is not there?
Well, none. Now, could JW have done that
I don't think, I mean, JW occasionally says, well, I don't know what you guys were talking about tonight. You know,
yeah, that's correct. That is correct.
Is there a waxing and waning going on?
No, not so much. Not so much. He has so much in his mind. Sometimes he has to sort them away. He has to file it away so it's not just total recall. It is total recall, but it's not instant recall. And we have an example, if you'd like it.
Yeah, you were saying that it's not total, it's instant recall. JW
yeah,
has
it is total recall. but it's not always instant recall.
When is it instant?
When he participates through our readings and gets it on every point, and the second that it's over, or we don't exit. See, we don't really leave, but he comes back as is in charge of his force of separation for the communication skills of the work, you see.
Yeah.
Then he can choose that portion that he's embracing. And it may not be all at once, but he always gets it sooner or later. It's total recall, but it's not instant.
What is total recall?
When you remember every aspect of everything that's ever done.
All right, so you're saying that JW has total recall after a session with Ion?
Sometimes instant total recall, but if it's not instant, he does finally have total recall.
Right, over the next span of hours, he'll
Yes, because if you notice when you're talking to him, he all of a sudden can remember the session numbers, which session it was, what was said, what was the topic of it, and why it is important that we left our wallet in El Segundo.
Right. Yeah. So
you see, he gets those things, but sometimes in the fervor of the flow
of the obsession, he might not get it right after, but 24 hours later, he recalls stuff.
Absolutely, and it becomes in part of him. Now, that's your scene. Now, this is a simple understanding, but it's a large dynamic when you got somebody who was just running from medium to medium to medium. We're confused. It would be like running from wife to wife to wife, and some people do that too.
Right, but how do you express the difference from Michael?
You show the scene. You are talking about the scene.
The scene. How do you show this?
Here's how you show it. You show it as you're laying out this information, and you're talking about the different ones.
Yeah.
In the beginning, Nostradamus wrote quatrains that said so and so. Edgar Casey told you where to put the money on which pony, and Sylvia Brown told you where your lover was, and blah blah blah. Okay. What this comes into a place where you're basically kind of coming into a, we would say like a, this is not what we're saying to do, we're saying like this. In almost like a fireside chat where you've got Roosevelt on the radio lining up telling everybody that, look out everybody, you don't have to have someone else doing this for you. You just have to be able to embrace the part that you've already been given. Your constitution gives you inalienable rights, but what we're saying is you're leaving your rights out of this.
Why did you bring up FDR in the fireside chat? What's that got to do with the scene?
It organized. It doesn't have anything to do with the scene. It was an example of a way that it could be done, not the way, a way, where everybody was in turmoil. Nobody knew what was going on. Everything was a mess. Well, FDR gets on the radio and synchronizes everybody.
Okay, so what's that?
For the very first time in your recordable history.
Okay, that was as far as our chats. Now, we're talking about you show the different mediums in their awkward ways of channeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Bob meets JW, and JW is channeling, or, you know, I don't see, well, Carolyn, you ask some questions. Carolyn has no idea. What's the scene?
Well, then why drag her into it if she has no idea?
Well, I didn't know. I looked over, I said, you said anything, and she said no. She didn't have anything. Well, so Carolyn's a little bit worse than me. So she didn't have a clue what I was talking about. But
no,
see,
I know. I don't.
I'm trying. What did you say, Carolyn?
Then we're
what
ahead
you
of
say,
you.
Can say that.
Then we're ahead of you.
Wait, look, forget the FDR. How do you show JW?
Forget all of this. Wait, stop. Hold on. We can't get ahead of you. If we get ahead of you, this is what happens. That's why we asked when we started, what do you want to ask questions? How do you want to do this? You want to start? So we started off with an idea.
We're doing okay. Just
an idea for a scene, which is, here's the deal. You've got it all recorded. You can listen to it again and get the parts you like.
I get it all. I want to know how you present JW not being in trance, yet he's channeling something different.
Well, because your movie may not necessarily be that. This isn't autobiographical, is it?
I don't know. What is, I don't think so.
Well, then what is that? Why is he involved in it?
Who? J.W.?
Yeah.
Well, you brought, that's what the opening scene is. J.W. Being different from Michael Blake Reed. That's what we're talking about. And I'm asking how to portray that.
No, not how to portray the difference. How to portray the transition of how folks used to receive it and how they're able to receive it now.
Oh, how are they able to receive it now? What's an example?
Well, an example now is that they are able to ask questions and resonate with it and get it and not even question it.
You mean ask questions by phoning in on the radio?
Oh, that's a way. ESP show. Coming into their place where things just start clicking for them in their way, where they find this howionic.com and how they draw that into their experience. What we're trying to do is activate all of the humans.
Okay, Karen.
All of them.
You direct the questioning for a while and try to get to this, what we're trying to get to.
Okay.
Well, it's almost like you, Bob, you're trying to get a picture of the whole scene, and Ion's just trying to give you an overview and
a splash of it, and then you develop it any crazy way you like.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get what you're talking about. First of all, I thought
Carolyn go back to what she was doing, and maybe that'll help you.
Yeah, Carolyn, you figure out what he's talking about. Go ahead.
The larger part.
Leave the question.
It's just the larger part of people getting activated.
What is the first scene, Carolyn?
I don't care about what the first scene is.
Yeah, well, that's what Ian is telling you. You're not even on top. Ian is telling us what the first scene is. I'm trying to find out what he is presenting. You want to know the stage directions.
I
want to know what he means by the first scene. Describe the scene. First of all, you show other mediums, and then you want to shift it out of the cliches of Chandler.
That's it. That's it.
Well, how do you suggest, what are we showing? Because we're back to the issue about what the heck's going on with JW, because he is going into trance or into something, because he wouldn't be able to answer the questions directly if he did not exhale when I say, greetings, Ion.
That's not true.
Okay, well, then why does he exhale? Why do we even call it Ion?
You don't have to.
You just call JW. Talk to JW.
Well, you certainly can. You certainly can if you want to, but then JW may say, okay, as long as I can have Bob Dobbs to speak back to, oh no, Marshall, no, wait, which one is it? See, the moniker doesn't matter. The scene has nothing, it's just a blip of how this is different than others have done it.
Right, okay, well, fine.
Different. Here's the difference. Meet SAC non-physical labyrinth of the mind. Put it in some type of format that this is different than what's been done before. Others have been great mediums. Others have been great initializers of the non-physical. Others have had knowings that they couldn't have known otherwise. But if you notice, Bob, when we're having conversation, whether we exhale, whether we don't exhale, whether we're summoned, whether we're not, it's more grammatically appropriate in being pleasant. And it begins a beginning place and an ending place within your spans, because you're still dealing with time and other people you participate with. That makes it easy for them to understand this conversation has to do with their non-physical. It's a way to introduce their non-physical to us as non-physical. And if they do, they resonate with it and they like it. They embrace it. And if you've noticed, and you said this all the way through, even the ones that didn't like it are now coming into a place where they start to like it. That just took them a little time to get it. And that's all. It's no problem. You got people on the radio screaming and yelling and hollering, and we just think that's wonderful. And then we go, you're absolutely right. What were we thinking? You know, play with that. It's fine. But this is all we're talking about, is a scene that somehow, and you'll beat this out.
Demonstrates what? See, we're why, there's no Ion, it's just JW talking. But then we say that, JW says, no, I didn't know that. So it's a waxing and waning. There is a change.
It's not waxing and waning if you understand that we're trying to bring it all as one. The whole point of you, Bob, is we're trying to get the non-physical part that's Bob to embrace it through Bob's, the physical Bob. And once that happens and it doesn't offend Bob's mind, the labyrinth in Bob's mind, in that ascension process, that's what we're trying. That's why we're having engagement with us, with non-physical ion. Pick your name. The name is not so significant, as is the process of bringing you, not ion, not JW, you, and everybody else that's going to watch this crazy movie, to think for a second, what if I allowed this non-physical that's already in me to take part of me so much so that they become a seeming one experience, one thing.
Well, as I heard Carolyn on Session 38, and now we don't know how to do it, and Ion does not tell us how to do it, can't tell us, and it goes through maneuvers like getting us to go to parallel worlds to trick us into something. But definitely, we are not doing what JW does. So, and I don't
That's
know how
okay.
how you would make us do it, unless it's going to require listening to Ion for 15 years, and gradually I'm massaged and into a state of where I got non-physical. See, and
some get it on the Damascus Road with a strike of lightning. Some people get it on the Emmaus Road with a long, gentle stroll.
Right, and if you listen to Ion, Bob got it a long time ago. He's been channeling non-physical for decades, you know?
Well, if he hasn't been channeling them, he's certainly been drawing them to his doorstep.
Yeah.
He has an innate gift of sniffing them out.
Yeah.
He's got the medium, the super-duper medium sniffer.
Dowsing. A medium dowsing.
Dowsing. He can find them. They trip up. They get on the same plane, same train, same space. They move next door to him.
That's right. That's what Mark is amazed that I found Ion.
Exactly. And how do you do that?
And I did it all by accident. Carolyn started it, and then we did this and talked, and then JW wasn't even a medium, and it accidentally happened, and so that was all an accident. But Bob,
don't you find
it
interesting that you even got Michael Blake Reed to speak to JW, and he wasn't doing it anymore? Just wanted to have conversation, just wanted to get them together. And Michael, because he's friendly with you, said okay.
Yeah, and it was
that you haven't gotten anyone else to be able to do that, have you?
With Michael, I probably not. The Michael, he could be a consultant, and I said, hey, you're a consultant. Let's have a consulting with things. So maybe I'm the first person to ask him to be a consultant to somebody, not to the Evergreens. That's how it was presented, and it worked. And it wasn't the Evergreens, I guess. It was just Michael.
Right.
But
which is okay.
Yeah.
Which is okay, because without Michael, what chances would you have of having the Evergreens?
Well, it wouldn't happen.
Oh, exactly. So that's that. Now you just answered your own question. The simple way of all we're talking about is a topic for this first, or a scene. It doesn't even have to be the first scene.
Right.
It's where you lay it out what the status quo has been.
But we don't know. We don't. There is a difference between JW and Ion. We don't know what has happened with JW.
Okay. But you gotta start with what everybody else understands as this mediumship is.
Right. And then what do we make? And then how do you show that JW is something different? We don't know what it is.
Well, you haven't got to that part yet. You've got to develop the first dynamic. That what's the difference between the different gifts? What's the difference between clairvoyance and astral projection? What's the difference in a parallel world? You don't even know where you are in this world, so how in the world would you recognize that you're in a parallel world?
Okay, now you're bringing in new topics. We were talking...
I know, but those
were
different.
We were talking about Edgar Casey versus Nostradamus versus Seth. We were talking about those peculiar kind of channelings.
Yeah.
And then we want to show the difference. What is the difference?
Well, the difference easily is that the physical body, the vessel, you've called it the vessel on numerous occasions.
Yeah, the vehicle.
The vessel doesn't have to be in a bathrobe laying across the foot of his bed in order to be activated and speak, have non-physical speak. He doesn't have to be inside or outside. He doesn't have to be laid out with his arms
okay, so you
across
could have,
his chest.
Here's a scene.
He doesn't have to be. He can be on a, you know, on a
fine,
cell phone.
Fine. Now, here's. I just thought we have you have Edgar Cayce laid out, all the different people. Then we say, here's a new medium, Ion, and he's playing baseball with his little Bluetooth, and we're on the radio, and he's taking calls while playing baseball with his sons.
Absolutely, or at a very loud concert.
Yes, and his kid is saying, Dad, look, watch the game. And he keeps talking like an average cell phone addict father on the phone, and the son doesn't know he's on the radio taking calls with Bob and Carolyn and James. Now, that would show a different kind of medium, right?
Yeah,
Carol?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And, that's the extreme. There's
well, that's
ways.
What people want to, you know, that's how they...
Yeah. No, extreme, yeah. It's
want to
be
see
extreme.
It, and then you break it down. But, yeah, to have that
right.
as a good...
You yeah. know,
well, that would be like the new Superman. Ion is doing baking cake and on the radio. Everybody's listening. They don't know. He's out there playing baseball.
Right. and if you really want to have some fun, now this is just outside the box, because now you're starting to catch up here right quick. You have... JW in this chenille robe, like Jane Roberts would do, laying across her bed, mm-hmm. and or on a Davenport, where a chaise lounge like Edgar Cayce,
yeah.
with his head steel, or Michael Blake Reed in his great big old chair,
yeah.
and arms folded, looking like a corpse, you know, in trance. And then the trance, then you start the process, and it's greetings, Ion. And then we exhale like we're fixing to go into this deeper, deeper, deeper subconscious
yeah.
non-physicalness. And then we get up, put on our jogging suit or our flip-flops or our tube top or whatever it is that you want to put him into, and start going around taking care of things and pointing.
Yeah, so it'll be the opposite.
Working.
You have Michael
yeah.
walking around. Okay, now he's going to sit down in trance. He lays down, becomes a corpse. We begin with Ion, JW, lying in the chair, and then we say, okay, we're going to bring forth Ion, and the bringing forth is JW gets out of the chair, goes over, starts making a cake and all these things. It's the opposite. He's not laying down. He's
right.
still becoming more active once he becomes
right.
Ion.
Exactly right. Yeah. Reading documents, you know, doing other things.
Yeah,
picking calls.
Mail, going out and taking a walk, or, you know, seeing what's going on, or pointing at him, planting flowers, and him and having pointing and doing all these different things. From that's different, and that's what you're trying to get to.
Yeah.
And all we were trying
well,
to say...
Well, that's what Bob, you know, Bob, he finally got the picture. You were
yeah.
looking for a picture.
Yeah, the
baseball
but player.
In the beginning, Ion, you were saying, well, what's JW have to do with it? You led us to believe we had to create a scene without JW, and that
well,
that would be pretty impossible. I mean,
oh,
it's
but,
about
but,
the JW experience.
Indeed. But now be careful. Be careful. You don't want to isolate it to just him. He is an example, and the one that you're working with.
Okay,
but now be careful because we're
how
we're
do you
not
democratize
trying.
It? How do you say there's no
yeah.
significance to this?
Yeah, because Bob's already stated, and I agree, that JW has a unique gift, and you can't play the game that Krishnamurti played with his audience forever, saying, oh, this is something that you all could do, and really he was going into trance, but he was pretending like he wasn't.
Mm. Well, then you're screwed, because everybody has to be able to. If you don't have the same access to non-physical that JW has, then that separation excludes and doesn't include.
Okay, so the new thing, it's like a new band comes up with a new chorus or a new twist.
Uh-huh.
A new baseball player has a different kind of pitch. In the world of mediumship, JW is unique because he can play baseball while doing it. See, that's the thing that makes JW special in relation to the history. But the message of Ion JW is much the same message as Evergreen's. Everybody else said you could do it, but it's what is it that you can do? Can you end up like a JW? So that people can talk to John Rockefeller, you know, and these people. I can't do that right away. I could maybe fake it, And I don't know, I don't think JW was faking it with Mark Stallman, because appropriate statements are said.
Well, he was pretty good at it.
Yeah, I used to say if Michael Blake Reed is a fake, he's a great actor, because
exactly.
A person can't switch from topic to topic and come up with relevant points like JW and Michael Blake Reed do when different topics are presented. A human can't move that fast. He can't move that fast when he's not in your ion.
And he's pretty good, but he can't wing the
yeah.
full.
JW would just go after a couple. The heck with it. You know, he'd get frustrated. And he'd go, what do you want to know about John Rockefeller for? They're bankrupt.
Right.
You know what I mean? The personality would come through, the frustration,
right.
Which is interesting. That's what that Earl said, that I'm very detached. I probably am in a semi-medium state when I'm being the co-host, because I am rather detached. I'm not getting emotional. And ION is not emotional. It takes whatever question's happening, stays on that crystal clear vibration level. Whereas JW, personally, if he's not in the right mood, he won't talk about something.
Oh, my stars. Yeah, and then it's personal.
Gets personal. So JW could not fake ION because he'd be taking it personal.
Oh, yeah. He wouldn't take on everyone's culpable responsibility for the answers to their non-physical questions when they have their own non-physical. Take care of your own. That's what he'd say.
We had to knock JW out to bring ION in so we could get some answers, because JW would have refused.
Now, that's good, and that's, and it doesn't matter, but now, what we're saying is in a scene, this particular scene, the whole point of the scene is that there's something new around, it's different, this is what's happening, this is what is, but now, this is because the way this happened to JW, this also is available to you, it becomes a 4-minute mile.
Yeah.
And if you want to do it that way, we say, wonderful, JW won't mind, and if he does mind, he'll get over it soon enough. It's
okay.
No problem.
I got an idea. The thing about ION, he's the first medium. The first thing that's coming through as non-physical, that is dumping all the spiritual, religious, aesthetic guidelines and claptrap, all right? He's saying, hey, we're anarchists here. Do whatever you want. Have no rules. Let your kids crawl off the thing. ION goes quite...
Well, you can't stop them.
Yeah, ION's philosophy frees everybody up to become a medium or to be access non-physical, whereas previous Krishnamurti or whatever sent up a cult. They set up a thing that they're on a hierarchy, and you've got to do something to get to that state. Well, ION doesn't do that, and so that's new for... That is where ION is the transition point to wake up people. Because it's not presenting it's not presenting a new bunch of ideology you got to learn and memorize and meditate on and work yourself up the ladder to enlightenment.
Correct. And then you say, now, ION, you haven't told us how to do it. Well, you've asked, and we've given you direction, and we've given you as far as you could go, but the whole point is, you didn't do the last things that we told you to do, so what makes you think that we think you'd do the next thing we'd tell you to do? You've got to figure it out for yourself if what's comfortable for you.
Yeah, in our relationship, in our doing it.
Carolyn didn't know for sure she could do MCATs until she aced them.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
No, she
knew she could do them.
But then she had
to do it.
And did it.
Yeah.
But see, how do you achieve that? Well, you just do it. And that's this point. It's not, and there's no, Carolyn, how do you tell somebody else how to be a great doctor? Well, you got to pass the bar. Oh, wait, that's lawyers. Oh, wait, that's another one. See, you can't do it from that. It's got to come from inside out. But something's got to wick the inside to realize that the inside can come out. So, if that's this experience that you're speaking about, okay, fine, wonderful, fabulous, delicious. But it's much easier to give it as an example and say, these are your possibilities. It's a buffet. These are your opportunities. Choose what you prefer. Well, I didn't know there was pink Jell-O. Yes, there's pink Jell-O. See, it's right there. You may have pink Jell-O if you like. oh, no, I can't have pink Jell-O. Nobody's ever had pink Jell-O. I can't have pink Jell-O. So that's a topic way of explaining this difference, okay, of allowing them to have the choice to open up whichever delicious new experience that the individual creator would like to enjoy. Because some people wouldn't want to do what JW is doing. They wouldn't find it pleasing or pleasant.
And what is JW doing that they wouldn't like?
Nothing. Some people don't like doing nothing.
Right. The way JW isn't doing less since Ion.
But he's getting more done than he's ever done in his life.
Right. But they would see JW sits around his home a lot, that you're saying people wouldn't want to do that.
Correct.
Yeah.
They wouldn't want to take 8 hours on a phone.
Right.
At a lick.
Yeah.
Well, and if you ask him, he's done phones, he knows phones, he communicates on the phones, and, you know, on planes, and, you know, he communicates. But for him to have his life on a phone, he wouldn't care for it so much.
Yeah.
But this is different. This is delicious and fun and delightful. And he's more engaged, energized when he gets through than he is when he begins.
Mm.
And it's opposite. It would be like, well, I've got to go to bed so I can go to sleep so I can get some rest. Well, for this particular thing, it would be like, I've got to get out of this bed so I can start having a conversation with Ion so I can get some rest.
And get some get energy. Yeah, feel
and paint
feel
the house or have the house painted or
yeah.
However he does that, you see.
Yeah, people go to sleep to get energy. You know, they wake up, okay, now I can be, I'm rested, I can energize myself. Ion has to go, Jerry has to go into trance to get energy. Or to engage Ion to...
And that's very different because many is the night.
How about this? Hold it. Yeah, hold that. How about this phrase? Ion, JW doesn't channel. He's not a medium. He engages non-physical or
good.
Engages
yes,
Ion.
Yeah, that's much better.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's much better. Much better. And so shall can you also.
Right. So So JW, he engages non-physical or do you say the name Ion? He engages Ion.
Either way.
No, he called it Ion. He doesn't call it Ion. He just
calls it his...
He engages in non-physical.
Right.
And so you call him up and he asks questions about Saint Germain. He tells us all about everything, who did what to what. And that's just a JW engaging non-physical.
Right.
Precisely. And we hope the same for you, if it's your choice, you see. But see, not everybody likes bookkeeping. Not everybody likes car washing. Not everybody likes eating Snicker bars.
And everybody's already channeling non-physical in what they do. They're doing it by default. Creation by default.
Leave out the channeling part.
Yeah.
They are participating within non-physical, but many times, Bob, as you well know, with the most disconnected ones among you, many times they spend all day every day denying that they even have a non-physical, that there is a spiritual man, that they have a spiritual being. See, many people spend all their time trying to qualify why it's not working for them.
Yeah, a side thought is that people insist that there's no life after death because they've been living in eternity.
They've had only death
and
in their life.
And they're actually wanting to have death. They want to unconsciousness.
They're already dead. So they don't want eternal life because based on what they've done so far, it's not so appealing for them.
Yeah, in terms of having, yeah. And so they say, I don't believe in life after death. I'm hoping that I can stop having consciousness because I've had it for millennia.
I've pushed against it, and I've screwed this thing so badly that I don't want to spend an eternity looking at this mess I've created.
Yeah, so...
Then I don't get to uncreate it, so then I get caught in this mess, and then I have this eternal mess. It's the laundry that never gets finished, you see.
Yeah, so
find a way to enjoy that, then all of a sudden, eternalist becomes bliss, because it's kind of like, you mean I get to do this fun stuff all day, every day, forever, ever, and ever, and ever, and ever? And we say, yes, 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 yes. And we go, great, 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 great. And others go, you mean I have to make a car payment forever?
Yeah.
You mean I have to work hard
forever
to make money come to me forever?
All right,
fine.
So you're saying that those that want to have only one life have only experienced general anxiety and say, no, I don't want this to go on forever. If they experience bliss, then maybe they accept the the concept that they don't die.
Yes, but
right?
Bob, but guess what? Without the non-physical and with the non-physical, either way, you still only have one life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Goes on forever.
No. Ever is a time.
Yeah, it goes on eternally.
Eternally.
Okay. So
then that leads us to another scene. That's okay for that, because it can be developed.
Hold that thought. If JW is talking in the baseball, channeling Ion, we could have the same voice coming through the prophets of Israel.
Sure.
You know, and all the other times, Edgar Cayce, it's the same voice, and that's how we get into the
Nostradamus. Nostradamus.
Good. Yeah, so the same sound.
Yeah, the same sound is coming out of JW.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that before we read it. So what's the next scene, Ion, you want to say?
No, not next. Of course, not giving
it another
here. Another scene is giving the eternalness of eternity. The eternalness of eternity. People don't understand that. They don't get that. They think that they're living this life, and then when it's over, or they go to heaven, or they go to hell, or they come back as a bug, or they get on the karmatic road to run over their dogma, or something. But clean that part up, and you do that from the masses.
Wait a minute. So my idea just came up with is a way of expressing the eternalness of eternity.
It certainly is, mm-hmm. But then you go into the dynamic and you deal with the nasties, what you call the nasties. You should have a letter or a little old lady sitting there reading a letter and writing a letter to her son, who is Adolf Hitler, mm-hmm. saying, baby, I know you're hoping for the best for everyone and loving him and appreciating him for where he is and just knowing, darling, that you're going to provide a great deal of contrast and it's going to make the world a better place. And if you embrace your non-physical, I promise, through all the span of time, they'll still be talking about you.
Oh, just as thought, so we could have Hitler have the voice come through him.
Certainly.
You get that, Carol? The nasties have the same voice.
Mm-hmm.
They most, and mm-hmm. who is that person who, you know, your psychos and your, Helter Skelter.
Yeah, Charles Manson.
And your,
Charles Manson, I just said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys have. So in other words, the voice keeps showing up in history.
We'll get Edgar G. Robinson's voice. Or
Jesus has it.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman.
That's right, Morgan Freeman.
Who's that?
He's the black guy.
He's God.
Oh, yeah, right. So there you show the eternalness and the logocentric, the voice is an inspired level of creating your own reality.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into your power. It's coming into your power, and there's different interpretations of what that means.
Yeah, it doesn't have
depending
to be
on your aspect.
The good guy.
Look at Jesus. He created more hell through Christianity, thanks to Peter hijacking him. And you could say Hitler, he actually created good stuff because he created Israel.
Oh, and then you got to go all the way through. You got to go all the way through, and you got to go to the first good big bad guy. You got to do Judas Iscariot.
Yeah.
You got to get some Judas in there, and how really the church is built on him.
Oh, is this a statement from Ion? It is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Judas is the guy who came into his power and said, "Well, I'm going to take over. Why have Jesus do it? I can do Jesus. I'll sell him out and take over." And then he went secretly, became Peter, set up the church?
Not
metaphorically?
Not even that much. It wasn't even
so
that
that's
hard.
A new story. You're saying that we can show Judas Iscariot actually started the Christian church.
Yeah.
That's a good one. He wrote himself out. He said, oh, it's like J.W., not that you're a member of Grand View. He said, he's not a member of this. What?
Great.
Oh, wait. What's your problem, Carol?
I'm the founding non-person, non-participating member.
Yeah, Judas Iscariot. He had himself portrayed as the most evil guy who dropped out so that no one, you know, he hides in plain sight. Judas, he couldn't have started the church. He left. Now, you had a problem? What's your problem with this, Carol? Just say your words.
When the director wants to listen to this, I don't want to have to redact it. Don't throw in comments.
No, no director's going to be listening to this, Carolyn. They're going to read your summary. They didn't have time to listen to hours of this stuff. Arguing over, we don't even know who JW is.
Exactly. And these are just non-physical crash sessions to get you your different scene.
Yeah, which is
scenario.
Worth it. We came up with the baseball scene. Now, were you saying that the funny thing is that the mother of Hitler writes a very wise letter to him? Is that what you were trying to point out?
Yes, and talking about how much she loves and appreciates her boy and how wonderful he is and how he is going to absolutely single-handedly change the world and all that kind of stuff. And guess what? He does.
He does.
He's still talking about it. Oh, we have a sidebar since you're recording. JW had lost some photographs, and he was very upset about it because he doesn't lose things. He doesn't break things, and he doesn't lose things. And they had disappeared, literally had vanished off the planet.
This is recently?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was very tore up about it because these were important. Not only because he thought that they probably have a pretty significant monetary value, which really doesn't make any difference to him because he only embraces things that he likes, and then when he likes it, everybody likes it, and then they become worth a whole lot of money or whatever. But he had some original negatives and photographs of Adolf Hitler.
Okay.
Mm.
And it's very rare to have actual photographs of Adolf Hitler. And they were framed and done nice and blah, blah, blah. Well, they weren't anywhere. They were not anywhere. They were nowhere. They were nowhere. And he got upset because things were not being managed to his satisfaction. If things like that can get missing, that's not, you know, wait a minute. We're not, you know, whoa, we ain't doing this.
Mm.
Oh, easy. You know, everything's going to stop until this gets found. Well, they can't get found. They can't get found. Well, then all of a sudden, something gets sort of moved around, and they were taking some of his Christmas back and forth and getting it around, and something gets rearranged and organized a bit better, and they move something, and there they were wrapped up behind something. Actually, it was behind a jukebox. Why he has a jukebox, it's in storage, no one knows, but they were moving things around, and there they were. And they brought him back and laid him at his feet. And he said, see, I told you that's where they were. And he didn't even know.
What does that mean when he said, I told you where they were? Did they tell him where they were?
No, he didn't. He just took credit that he knew where they were and was offended that they had misplaced where he thought they could be.
Okay, not sure about what you mean there. Is he saying, they show, hey, we found them, and he said, well, of course they were. And they would say, where did we find them? He wouldn't be able to answer that question.
Correct, but it wouldn't matter because he was just making the standard was that things don't go away.
So let's go back to what he said to them, which is a bizarre statement for employee-employer relationship. It gets into, like, this other character we know. But so JW says, what did he say to the guy when they showed them?
When they were all excited that they had
found them.
Which was lost was found.
Yeah.
And his response was, exactly, I knew they were here. I just didn't know where they had gotten to. And then he told where they found them, and it's like, well, of course, that must have been where he put them.
Is the jukebox in his home?
No.
Right. JW did not put him over in the other place where the jukebox
Correct.
Was. But he claimed he did.
Correct.
Well, that will be odd. If I was an employee, I'd say, well, this guy's nuts. We're not going to argue with him. But he claimed that he put him there, and he didn't.
What he claimed more than anything that they knew was that those were somewhere. No one took them. No one moved them. No one got access to them.
He knew that.
And if they had them, they would have brought them back and said, you know what, I was piffering through one of your properties, and I found these photographs, and I took them, and I didn't mean to, and I would like to return them and ask your forgiveness because they're not mine, and I'd like to bring them back to you to make sure you knew they were safe, and here they are. That has happened. to him personally.
And we don't know what that, we didn't get it all. See, it's hard to tell. You said someone did that, and were they lying? Or, I don't know.
Let's just go on.
Yeah, Carolyn, she accepts not knowing. I don't like accepting not knowing. You realize, Ian, you failed to communicate what the hell was going on there. It sounds bizarre that Ian J.W. is a megalomaniac and claims that I knew where they were. And are you trying to say that J.W. said they could not be stolen?
Correct.
That's his point. They have to be here somewhere. So you better keep looking until you find them because they're here. And when they return them, he said, I told you you'd find them.
Of course.
Okay.
And if you can't lay your hands on them, maybe you're not, the fastest path of your joy may not be in mine, in his employee.
Right, but so someone came back and they had actually stolen them?
Not those pictures.
Not those ones, but something else. They had stolen them, and they claimed they did it by accident.
No, they stole a lot of silver, and about 4 years went by, and J.W. never missed it.
Right.
He never missed it.
And the person was still employed?
No.
Okay.
They were never an employee. They were actually broke into the place, stole it, and it was never even noticed that it was stolen.
Then what happened?
And then several years went by. They came to visit, and they said that they had a problem. And he said, what's your problem? He says, well, we got caught up in something that was not right, and we'd like to make it right. And he said, okay, what is it? And they said, hold on just a minute. And they went and got the truck and brought in the same box that it was in, brought it back, and said, we took this, and it's not ours, and we'd ask your forgiveness, and we'd like to return it, please. And if you call the police and have us charged, there's nothing we can, we understand, but we would like to make this right.
Right.
And instead, of course, you know what he said? Well, thank you so much. I really thank you for keeping it safe. But it was always safe, and I didn't even know it was missing. But I'm certainly glad to be able to look at it again. Thank you very much. Well, are you going to press charges? There's no reason to. You made it wrong. You made it right. And I was not wronged, because as far as I was concerned, I still had it.
Yeah.
And I still do. So,
I get that. So I understand. So the guy was relieved, and that was good. Now, why are we, this was an example of a point you were trying to make. I don't know what the point was.
A scene, and you may have finished up the eternalness of eternity.
Yeah.
But the knowing place of taking your power, which is another scene, how to take your power.
Well, there was a sidebar, but why did you go into the story about J.W. and how he doesn't, and then the pictures, and then the pictures showed up. Why did we go into that? What was that?
Well, we brought it up as we were talking about Adolf Hitler's mother.
Yeah.
And then it just dawned on...
Oh, yeah, the pictures. That just was a side thing because of the topic of Hitler. So it does not relate to the second scene we're trying to develop, which is...
Does the third one of taking your power.
Okay, do you agree that the eternity thing... The second one is expressed by having this voice, the common voice, when someone takes their power.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
That's okay. Please yourself.
You have J.W. doing the voice at the beginning of the movie, so to speak, on the bass lot, and he's doing the Iron Show. And then as the movie unfolds, you say, shit, everybody, Hitler had this voice?
Now, are we giving everybody J.W.'s voice?
No, it'll be a voice,
Morgan Freeman, somebody.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be literal, his southern voice. Just a voice that is sort of
unique. For John Denver, he's fun.
Or George
Burns. He's dead.
We'll just use my voice. Bob will just talk in his nasal voice. Yeah, anyways, I can't even do myself, but the point is that you have J.W.
And that serves you well.
I'm such a bad actor, I can't even do myself. Carolyn, do I do myself?
Enough.
No, Bob, you don't do yourself.
Well.
You got to have that going through the movie. Bob, is this non-physical? Do we do
that? Right. Bob, you know you're in trouble when you can't typecast yourself as yourself.
That's because I got four Bobs anyway, so we don't know who he is. But that'd be good. You have J.W.'s voice. whatever it is, he's doing a show.
Yeah.
If it might begin with a show, because that is the ion of today, you know, and then the movie is all time spirals out of that. But then they start to realize, my God, that voice was in Jesus, it was in Hitler, it was in Pharaoh, it was in Babe Ruth. it's a common voice.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and then...
Very good.
Okay.
It's a synchronicity, and they'll get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now you got to add...